Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
I taught on first fruits about 3 weeks ago now. This month has been like a whirlwind for me, but and I taught on the principles of first fruits, and I told y'all that tonight what I was going to do is talk about first fruits and apostolic alignment. How does that fit together? I first heard this teaching from Robert Henderson probably 7, 8, maybe as many as 10 years ago, and it began to really shift the way I was operating and the way I saw first fruits biblically. And it was a part of what shifted me out of a pastoral mindset into an apostolic alignment mindset. It was like a plumb line got dropped in me when I heard this. And as I have practiced this over the last, I guess, about 10 years or so, I've seen my life and purpose and destiny move forward progressively. This house, everything I'm going to teach, we as a corporate body practice, not just internally, but externally, okay? So I just wanted to set that up front. So, Father, I'm asking that tonight as I work to release this teaching, this understanding, this revelation to us, Lord, I'm asking that you would give me understanding to articulate in a way that glorifies you and builds up your body. Lord, that will answer questions, that will begin to bring a depth of understanding to all of us, so that we can move into the fullness of what you have for us. Lord, let everything that I would say that is not of you, let it just fall to the ground as nothing. And let everything that is for your purposes and out of your heart be established and bear much fruit for your glory and honor. Amen. First point is that first fruits connected to apostolic alignment is designed to release blessings and finance the apostolic. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." How many of you want your barns filled with plenty? What about your vats overflowing with new wine? We want the fullness of what God has. That is revelation and joy, but it's also tangible provision. God cares about your bank account. Do you know Jesus talked about money all the time? And we have been so afraid to talk about it in the modern church that we've left an entire arena untapped or tapped into in a wrong way that has been for selfish gain rather than kingdom advancement. Now, that's a real important key right there. God wants our barns full and our vats overflowing so that his kingdom purposes can be established in the earth. And he doesn't mind if you enjoy it along the way. Ezekiel 44:30 says, "The best of all first fruits of any kind and every sacrifice of any kind from all your sacrifices shall be the priest," belongs to the priest. "Also, you shall give to the priest the first of your ground meal to cause a blessing to rest upon your house." How many of you want a blessing to rest upon your house? It's the caused blessing. And you notice it says that the first fruits is to go to the priest. Well, we don't have priests today, but there is a parallel from Old Testament priests into New Testament order. So the second point is what this leads to is a high priest is a shadow of the apostle. It's a foreshadowing of the apostle. Hebrews 3:1 says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly call, consider what? The apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." Now, you may be sitting there asking, okay, well, we understand Jesus was the apostle and the high priest. But what does Ephesians 4 say? It says that Jesus gave, really, if you go into the Greek, he gave of himself some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So as we represent Jesus as the apostles and are a part of representing Jesus by his assignment, not by self-appointment, but by his assignment, then we fit into that place of under Christ as the high priest and the apostle. We operate as an apostle and a high priest. Okay, does that help? Some understanding there. Number three is first fruits, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, is different than a tithe. This is one of the areas we sometimes get a little confused on, because we know that the first tenth is to be brought into the storehouse, right? But the first fruit is the first of the harvest that begins to come in that guarantees, protects, and secures the rest of the harvest. It's what you are believing for. It is when God begins to open something up to you and it looks like there's increase coming, that there is that potential for fruitfulness. I'm going to use you as an example just because you're a salesman and it's easy. And you're a good one. If Rick knows that he is on the verge of landing a really big deal, and I know you've done this, okay? He knows what that will net in the end, or an approximate. Is that making sense? Am I correct? He may, at the unction of Holy Spirit, bring a first fruits to secure that deal all the way to completion. And I've seen him do this, because he's had some that were wrestling, and the Lord said, do you bring a first fruits? And it secured it, and it came all the way through. Does that help make sense to put it into some practical? Because sometimes we talk these terms and then people are going, what are you talking about? We got to make this practical into our day-to-day living, okay? Last year, I'll give a testimony out of CityGate. Well, yeah, last June, we were doing first fruits, and the Holy Spirit said, I want CityGate to give a first fruits offering into Freedom House in Jacksonville, Florida. And your first fruits is because you're beginning to see your building come forth, but you need to secure it into your possession. In other words, you need to secure the fullness of that which I have shown you in the harvest, right? So I said, Lord, how much do you want us to give? He said, I want you to give the estimated monthly lease amount into Freedom House. So what we knew was our coming lease amount for this building, God had us give it away. That's a significant amount of money, okay? But within weeks after that got into their possession, and they were blown away, within weeks of that, we had the security of the lease, and we were well on our way. Actually, within 2 months, we had everything we needed to move into here, except for just getting the work done, okay? It was the unlocking by the obedience of first fruits, and it put a dedication on the entirety, not just the getting the lease and getting the building, but it put a protection over the entire time that we're here. I mean, y'all need to see this. That's why when people say, are you worried about the money? I go, no, because it's guaranteed in the Lord, because we're following him. And he said, if you'll do what I say do, when I say do it related to finances, you will never lack. It's a simple principle, and it's not about the quantity of the amount. It's about the obedience of the heart. It's obedience of the heart, because God has supernatural ways to bring increase into your life. Let me put some scripture to this. Nehemiah 10:37 is to bring the first fruits of our dough, our offerings, the fruit from all kinds of trees, the new wine and oil to the priests, to the storerooms of the house of our God, and to bring the tithes of our land to the Levites, for the Levites should receive the tithes in all of our farming communities. 2 Chronicles 31:5 says, as soon as the commandment was circulated, which was the commandment to bring the tithes and the first fruits, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of grain and wine, oil and honey, and of all the produce of the field, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. See, they did both. It wasn't an either or, it was a both and. So it was different than a tithe. Number four, it is a part of the restoration process. Acts 3:21 says, whom heaven must receive, speaking of Jesus, who is the first fruits, right? Okay, y'all looked at me kind of like flat on that. Jesus is the first fruits, right? Resurrected from the dead. He's the first fruit. So whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Are we in a time of restoration? In my lifetime, I've seen the restoration of prophets that did not exist when I was a kid. Even when I was a young adult, you never heard anybody talking about prophets. And you certainly didn't hear anybody talking about apostles. And women of God in this place, the majority of us were not allowed to do anything except deal with children. And I love kids. But there is a restoration of all things because God said, Adam and Eve. And he doesn't take us back to Genesis 3 when we're under a curse. He brings us back to Genesis 1 to fulfill the dominion mandate. So God has taken us out of a place of not being restored and bringing us into restoration. I look around the room at people from so many different nationalities and races in this room. When I was a kid, this wouldn't have happened. I am so thrilled. I will tell you this little story on myself. I was in South Carolina in my early high school, and actually the school I went to was very integrated, which is, you wouldn't think so, but it was. And some of my best friends were African Americans. We had a blast together because I was singing, and there was this real tall African American guy, had the most gorgeous tenor voice on the planet. And with me and my soprano and him with his tenor, we had a blast, let me just tell you. And we would just have a great time. I moved to Atlanta and went into a lily white school and went, what happened? But see, we're in a restoration because God did not intend for us to be divided and separated. He intended for us to walk together in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace in order that the fullness of his giftings and callings shall come forth. So we're walking in that, and first fruits is a piece of what is being restored. See, God is restoring kingdom economics into the church, so that we're not operating with a poverty mentality. We are breaking out of that poverty mentality that said that the ministers had to be kept poor so that the people could control them. And I'm just telling you, that was the real deal. God, you keep them humble, we'll keep them poor. That was a quote. See, God's restoring. Because he honored, in his word, I've read it over and over again, God honored the ministers that he put into position. Now, I know it's been abused in some places, but we're not talking about abuse. We're talking about restoration of God's honor, restoration of his order, restoration of the way he does kingdom, okay? So it is part of the restoration process. Number five. Giving of your first fruits consecrates what you love to the Lord. Consecrates what you love to the Lord. What do you love? Romans 11:16 says, for if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. Ezekiel 44:30 says, the best of all first fruits of any kind and every sacrifice of any kind of your sacrifice shall be the priest. Also, you shall give to the priest the first of your ground meal. Why? Because I read this a minute ago. What did it say? To cause a blessing to rest on your house. We love our families. We want to see our homes blessed. We want to see our sons and daughters rise up and live in the fullness of what God has intended. We want to see the labor of our hands. See, I believe we're supposed to love our jobs. And see, that's a restoration that needs to happen in America right now. We need to love our job. Now, does that, we don't worship it, but we love it. We put it in a place of honor that everything that we do on our job, everything that we do in our life, according to Colossians, we do it as unto the Lord. Everything we do it as unto the Lord. And when we give of our first fruits, it releases a caused blessing upon our household. It's one of the reasons as a ministry, as City Gate Atlanta, we give first fruits because I want the caused blessing upon this house. You see this principle in Abraham and Isaac. Abraham had to offer Isaac. Now God substituted and gave him a ram, but Abraham had to go to that altar ready. He had already been sacrificed in his heart. He had said, I've given him, and I trust the Lord because he's the one that gave me the promise. And if he demands him of me, I know he's well able because it's his promise, not mine. What about Joshua and Jericho? Do you remember the story of Joshua and Jericho? Joshua goes and they circle the city, and God says that when they take Jericho, they are to take and give everything where? To the Lord. They're not to take anything and hide it or keep it for themselves. What happens after Jericho when Achan doesn't do what God said? They end up getting beat because they took some of the things that were supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. They put it under the rug in their own tent, and then their whole family ended up destroyed. See, it's important that we hear what God is saying when he's saying, I'm giving this to you, now give this to me. This is your first battle. Give it all to me. Give all that increase to me. Can you imagine the increase that was in Jericho? We're not talking a little village. We're talking a city fortified with massive walls. If they were fortified with massive walls, why do you think they were fortified with massive walls? They had valuable stuff inside. And God says, I'll give you the rest of this land, all of the promised land, but you give me everything in this first battle. There's some principles here we need to get a hold of. What about the widow and Elijah? Do you remember the story? Elijah comes and says, make me a cake. She goes, I'm about to make a cake and feed my son and I, and then we're going to lay down and die. And he says, make me a cake first. And God sustained her all the way through because she gave him the first. What about Cain and Abel? See, one gave the first, one didn't. That story just wrecks me. What about Abraham and Melchizedek? You know, Abraham's out in the field and Melchizedek, which is really like an Old Testament vision, epiphany of Jesus. And he gives him the first. See, God is saying, will you give me the first? Will you give me your best? And it will cause a dedication over the whole thing. What about Father God and Jesus? The ultimate of giving of the first fruit. He completely gave his only begotten Son so that you and I could have life and have life everlasting. God dedicated the entirety of his family through the giving of the first fruits. He secured the redemption of his family through the giving of his son. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Amazing, amazing grace. So it consecrates what you love to God. Number six, it aligns apostolically. Numbers 18, and there's going to be a good bit of scripture I'm going to read here, so just let it be recorded And I want you to hear it. I'm reading out of the Amplified. All the best of the oil, all the best of the new wine and the grain, their first fruits which they offer to the Lord, I have given them to you. And he was speaking to Aaron, the high priest. Whatever first ripe fruit is in their land, which they bring to the Lord, shall be yours. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. This is what God was saying to Aaron, the high priest. That was actually in the, I think, New American Standard. Then when we jump down to verse 19 in the Amplified, it says, all the offerings of the holy things which the Israelites offer to the Lord, I have given to you, speaking again to Aaron the high priest, and to your sons and your daughters, with you as a continual allotment. It is an everlasting covenant of salt. And we've learned before, a salt covenant is a covenant that cannot be dissolved or violated before the Lord to you and your descendants with you. Verse 20. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in the land of the Israelites, nor have any portion of land among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. So for those that walk into the apostolic, God is our portion. And it's hard to even fully articulate all that means in our cultural understanding. But there is a place that I'm coming to understand. I won't say I fully get it, okay? But I'm coming to understand that he is my portion. Now, he allows me to eat of some good things. He allows me to have some things. But it all flows out under he is my portion. He is what I live dedicated to in every aspect of my life. And I have to learn day by day, what does that look like and how do I live that out? Because we all have life, right? We all have family, we have friends, we have demands, we have stuff. But as we live, even as an apostolic people, where the Lord our God is our portion, that's who we are, then he says, I'm going to take care of you. You can trust me. You can trust me. I'm going to take care of you. And he does very well. Verse 21 says, behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I heard Robert teach this, he taught it that the first fruits was to create an apostolic fund that funds the apostle, meaning salary, meaning expenses, meaning everything. Now, I will just say, we're not there because we're just not there yet, and that's okay, and I'm not pushing for that. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I want you to understand from the scriptural vantage point, that's what this is saying. And then those that are staff, say in a church, they would be like the Levites that are paid for the work that they do out of the tithes that come into the house. Does that make sense? Does that make sense, folks? Okay. I'm getting my head around this as well. I'm saying, Lord, teach me how to walk this out so that we walk it out. And part of the reason we literally could be there with our first fruits. And the only reason we are not is because I feel like the Lord has said, you make sure that the finances of this house are in tip-top order shape to support what I'm doing in this building and beyond so that nothing goes lacking. And so I'm just month by month, year by year, following his order so that nothing that I would ever take from this place would cause this place to falter, financially or otherwise. That's my heart. That's not in my notes. I just felt like for you guys in particular, you needed to hear my heart. Because I am not in this for making a bunch of money. If I was, I would be in trouble. But that's okay because I delight in doing what God has called me to do. Let me get on here. So does that make sense how it aligned you apostolically? In the Old Testament, they gave, it connected to the high priest, and then it connected to the Levites, who were those that worked in the ministry, putting it into new covenant terms. First fruits always also, number seven, remembers God through an act of worship. In other words, giving of your first fruits is an act of worship. All giving is. Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 3 says, "And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the, yes, first, of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you." When you come into the land God has promised you, bring some of the first, whatever that is, and put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days and say to him, "I declare today that the Lord your God, that I have come to your country, which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us." See, when y'all bring your first fruits, even here, when God said, "This is where I've assigned you to be," you're coming, and instead of putting it in a basket, you're putting it in a chest. But you're saying, "I declare today that I'm coming into this land because it's what God has promised." It's a fruitful place. It's a place where together we can be fruitful and multiply. Together we can see atmospheres shift. Together we can worship God with a unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace so that His glory is manifested. So that our lost family members and our lost neighbors and community that is outside of the will of God can begin to see and know that Jesus is the Son of the living God. So that we can begin to infiltrate into the various aspects of culture out of the house of the mountain of the Lord, okay? Because it's out of here, then like we did with Mindy tonight, we send her. Then she is able to not fight her way up a mountain, but be sent into a mountain. See, we've had a lot of people trying to fight their way up a mountain without connection apostolically to the house of the mountain of the Lord. And they've been picked off along the way. Anybody known some of those folks? Because they were trying to do it climbing the world's way instead of coming out of the kingdom of God and being sent. And then you don't have to do all that rough, ragged stuff. You're still going to work. Don't get me wrong. You're going to still work. But you will have a grace and a favor to move in that you would not have otherwise. See, apostolic alignment can open doors to put you in places you never dreamed of being. I can tell y'all story after story of the divine alignments God has given for me and for this house, and the opportunities that we've been given because of our alignment with Dutch Sheets and Clay Nash and Robert Henderson and Chuck Pierce. See, we would not be walking in the level of revelation and seer anointing in this house that we are without the alignment with Clay Nash and Chuck Pierce. Wouldn't be happening. We would not be moving in the level of authority we are in governmental intercession without our connection with Dutch Sheets. We would not be moving in the understanding, Issachar understanding of the times and seasons without our connection to Global Spheres and Chuck Pierce and company. We wouldn't be able to be dealing in the courts of heaven, dealing with bloodline issues, breaking generational curses, and getting people set free without our connection with Robert Henderson and Global Reformers. See, when you align, you step into a greater grace than what you currently have, and you step into a new dimension of grace. You get an upgrade. Victor said we're getting an upgrade. I'm telling you, apostolic alignment will bring you an upgrade. And it's just because it's the way God said do it. Because I'm trying to be so careful here because I've heard some of the apostolic teaching out there that makes it all about the apostle. It isn't. I'm a foundation for you to stand on. Okay? I'm not here. I'm here. And when you align and you stand upon a firm foundation of apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, I heard Chuck Pierce say this and I just shouted. He said, when you take your position upon the foundation of the apostle and the prophet with Jesus as the chief cornerstone, then the protection of God comes up over you. The covering of God comes up over you. See, that's why I use the terminology alignment, not covering. Because if you say I'm coming under your covering, I'm like, oh. I mean, seriously. No. He is the one we come up under, his covering. He said in order that apostles and prophets be the foundation, and then his covering comes up over us. See, as an apostle, I began to work with you and work among us to find where each joint fits together. Dr. Patty last week said that the swatch had been cut and God was gathering us up. Victor had just had the same word about a pouch being gathered with gold coins that was not just money but giftings and callings and people to do the work that is needed, and that it was being brought forward. But see, the Lord said to me in prayer today, he said it's one thing for things to be gathered, it's another thing for them to be assembled. I can remember about 20 years ago, I was praying over this gathering thing. He said, don't use the word gathering, use the word assemble. Because a bicycle in a box is gathered, but it is of no use until it is assembled. I mean, this was back in the 90s sometime, way back there when he said that to me. And I went, okay, then we have to be assembled. We have to have, scripture says, every joint supplying what is needed causes growth of the whole in love from Ephesians 4. See, when we get properly aligned, equipped, which is the word equip, is kartotismos, which is to bring into position, to reset that which has been broken, to bring joints into place so that life flows. See, the life flow should increase when you come into an alignment apostolically. There should be a release of life and grace and favor of joy. I loved the way we started tonight. There was so much joy in here. It was like, yeah. Because what is the joy? The joy of the Lord is our... I told Nathaniel the other day when he was in a battle... While they were recording the CD, and actually Tiffany had written me and said they were in a real spiritual warfare. And I wrote him back and I said, laugh. Just take a laugh break and laugh. Just begin to laugh. And sometimes when you do that, you start laughing. You feel absolutely ridiculous because you don't feel like laughing. You sound stupid. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? You try to laugh and you don't feel like laughing. It's like, I mean, you know. But see, it triggered everybody in here to laugh. So you just sometimes have to step into it. Just do it, okay? Oh, goodness. Deuteronomy 26, 10 through 11 says, and now behold, I have brought you the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. You shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. When you bring your first fruits as an act of worship, there is an unlocking of the joy of the Lord. There is an unlocking of the favor of God. There is an unlocking of the provision of God. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, and you shall remember the Lord your God. It is he who, what? Gives you power to get wealth that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. See, our giving is about getting God's covenant established in the earth. It's going to take money to do what God says do. That's the way it works. See, City Gate Atlanta is in our apostolic alignment, is aligned to Network Ecclesia International with Dutch Sheets and Clay Nash, and there are many others that are a part of that, but those are the two that we most closely connect with, and Don Lynch is in that mix as well, with Global Spheres and Chuck Pierce, and Global Reformers and Robert Henderson. Why do I tell you that? It's because you need to know that as a ministry, we give to each of these our tithes, first fruits, and offerings consistently. And we never lack because we do what he says to do on this. I will tell you this real quick. I may retell this when I'm giving some of the history of City Gate next week. But when we were going through a really difficult time with City Gate after we had moved out of the first building we were in and we were in that whole lawsuit debacle, when the landlord said, "You didn't tell us we were a church," and I did, but he said we didn't. But the Lord said, when you go to the Pentecost conference at Global Spheres at Glory of Zion, you take a first fruits offering. And the minute I walk, I mean, literally within minutes, I walked to the front during worship to put the offering in, walked back to my seat, sat down, and my phone buzzed. And it was the lawyer saying, "It's done." Now, was that already in motion? Probably. But did it get triggered because of obedience? Absolutely. See, God did in response what he wanted to do all along. We learned a lot through that. I'll tell you more later. I've mentioned this before, but I want you to hear Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens." I want you to say, "I'm no longer a stranger and no longer an alien. But you are fellow citizens with the saints of God." Say, "I am a fellow citizen with the saints. And I am of God's household. I am being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building is being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. And it is in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." See, that's who we are. We're becoming a dwelling place of God in the Spirit for this territory. Are we the only one? Absolutely not. But are we one? Absolutely. I don't care what anybody says, we are. Sometimes you just have to have an attitude. See, the foundation of apostles and prophets positions us for the covering of the Lord to come up over us as a shield of protection and a shelter of blessing. See, apostolic alignment positions you through honor with the apostolic assignment of the apostle of the ministry. And it's not limited to just me fulfilling mine. See, if you can hear my heart, and I believe you do, my apostolic assignment is to see all of you fulfill your assignment in God, to fulfill the purpose of God in your life. That will mean for all of us some refining, some training, some correction. Hello, we all go there. Some adjustments, maybe some revisioning of some things. Because a lot of times we have an imagery of where we're headed. That's our imagery, not God's vision. And it has to be tweaked. It has to be refined through the process of walking together with the Lord. And I delight, sometimes I don't delight in parts of it, because when it comes to bringing correction, I don't really like that part, except that I can see what can be. It's like a mama. I didn't like disciplining my kids, especially when I had to correct them. But man, when you see the fruit of that come out in their lives later, you're like, it's worth it. It is so worth it. Apostolic alignment is assigned by the Lord, and it is submitted to by the willingness of your heart. See, no one can force you into apostolic alignment. And it is not according to just what we want. It's by what God assigns. Your alignment is connected to your assignment that releases the authority. Okay? So it is assigned and then submitted. And it looses the benefits and blessings of, and I'm just going to give you a list of a few things that I thought of today as I was praying through this, that I've seen in my own life. It looses the benefits and blessings of strength, increased anointing, fresh revelation, protection, wise counsel, a path of maturity, provision, power of agreement. That's one of the, that is a key one right there. Kingdom relationships and clarity of purpose. I want to step back for just a second to the one of power of agreement. See, we all have callings and we get invited into opportunities. And I just want everybody here to understand that when I ask that you bring it and let's talk about it, it's not for me to give permission, yes or no. Because that's the way it's often interpreted, and it's not. Who doesn't want the power of agreement when you go, though? See, when Mindy felt like she was supposed to go back and get her master's, she and Victor came and sat down and talked with me. We talked about what it was going to entail for her in her home life because she works full time. She's on leadership here. She's got three growing kids. She's busy. A master's program is intense. And she said, do you believe this is what we're supposed to do? And we prayed together. We sought the Lord together and got an absolute. This is connected to your destiny. And so she's had the power of agreement, not just of me, but of this house and of our leadership team and of our apostolic covering. And I use that word. You understand what I'm saying, though? She had the power of agreement, and now she's preparing to graduate. That is huge. That's just one example. So that power of agreement, so when you bring things to us, and I won't say just to me, it's to our leadership in a lot of ways, it's not for permission granted and permission denied. It's the power of agreement. And let me say this, even if I have to say, you know what, I don't think that's right. It's not a permission issue, it's an agreement issue for the power of agreement to be thrust into what you're doing. I hope that makes sense. I've just lived it for a lot of years, and I can't imagine doing it any other way. I think a couple of more statements and we're done. Apostolic alignment positions you through honor with the apostolic assignment of the apostle and the ministry and unlocks the purposes of God for your life to come into maturity and fulfillment. At CityGate Atlanta, it positions you to become shareholders of the vision, to walk out the fulfillment of God's purposes personally and corporately, to impact territories assigned by the Lord for His grace and His glory. See, we all have different things that are assigned to us. And I'm going to go over the next few weeks, the next 3 weeks, I'm going to talk about what it means to be shareholders of the vision. I'm going to give you some of the history and the purpose, some of the vision of CityGate Atlanta, what I see coming, how shareholders are vital. They're not an appendage to a vision. I don't have the whole vision. I have the boundaries. And the boundaries keep getting expanded. But see, you have got pieces of the vision that if you don't step into place with your piece and bring your puzzle piece, if as it is, into the puzzle, the puzzle's never completed because it won't be completed without you. It's not something that I can do. It's not something somebody else can do. It's because it's God's assignment for you. And then I'll talk about responsibilities and blessings of being a shareholder. So that's what I'm going to do the next 3 weeks. And then when Don Lynch is here on July the 20th, between now and then, I'm going to have some forms for y'all to fill out if you want to be a shareholder. Now, many of you already are, but here's what I'm going to do because I want to update information. I'm going to ask everybody to fill them out again. And they're going to be a little bit new this time because I want to hear what's in your heart. I want to hear, what is God calling you to? What is the passion that's burning in your heart? Where do you see yourself moving in the days ahead, both locally and beyond? Because some of you are called into the business arena. We want to come alongside and help you be the best business person you can possibly be. Because apostolic isn't all about getting you doing it all in here. It's about you having a foundation to be launched to go into the destiny God has for you. So that's where we're headed over the next 4 weeks. I think it's a strategic time for us as we prepare to launch forward and see all that God is going to do. And the way we're going to close today is I'm going to get y'all to move my podium. And then, while we're doing that, let me tell you this. I need this two pieces of paper. This is the beginning of the month of Tammuz, and so since I wasn't really teaching on that tonight, and I have been teaching on the Hebraic months every month, I have printed out some information, and I have those up here. You may have those. In fact, I'll put them at the back. You may pick those up, and I also printed off Chuck Pierce's Grace, Grace, Grace 21-Day Prayer Focus. And we're on day 5, but if you want to start today and go forward, that's okay. It's a fabulous prayer focus for us to enter into the grace that God has. Triple grace. Grace, grace, grace.
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to citygateatlanta.org.